Everybody knows where they were when JFK was shot in November of 1963, and Elvis Presley, I bet you all know if you were alive and well, back in August 1977, I'm sure you remember quite well where you were and what you were doing when news broke that Elvis had passed away. And I'm sure many of you know exactly where you were and what you were doing when this happened way, way back, way, 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 way back in 1982.
This is Liam Connell, the fullback, a high lobbing dropping ball in towards the goal. A shot, a goal, a goal, a goal for Offaly. There was a goal in the game. A goal. Oh, what a goal. Back at the net by the sub who came on by the sub Seamus Darby. And the score is now Offaly 18, Kerry 17.
Offaly, of course, stopped Kerry winning an historic 5 All-Irelands in a row. That famous goal was the decisive factor, and Offaly manager Eugene McGee, the late great Eugene McGee, once told Shannon Side Northern Sound how that match-winning substitution came about.
It's a famous substitution of that, but I mean, the reason they went for Darby is just the selectors were 2 each, 2 for and 2. There wasn't much time for thinking, so I said it's Darby because I just had a vague idea. I'd seen him a few times scoring those goals. I said, look, he's the most likely to get a goal.
Yeah, the late, great Eugene McGee. So the ball hit the net and a man's life changed forever. Seamus Darby joins me in studio this morning. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Joe.
Do you ever get sick and tired and fed up talking about that moment in September 82?
Well, I've got to get used to it, I suppose, now. But now and then you get pissed off. But mostly, look, it's hard to believe 37 years later that people, I suppose every single day of my life, I'm asked something about it, or someone comes up with, they think it's the very first time I've ever been asked, you know, did I push him, did you really push him or whatever. But sometimes you get pissed off, but not generally. I can never handle it. Yeah. No problem. Yeah.
But I'm sure you have very, you can just move back a bit from the microphone there, Seamus. I'm sure you have very vivid memories of the moment, or is it a case of where it's all a daze now?
No, I still remember it very well, very clearly. I suppose at the time when it happened, little did I realise what the change was going to make. Well, to everybody, to me in particular, and to my family, I suppose. But, you know, it was only a few days later that it all sunk in that we realised we had won the All-Ireland. I suppose we weren't really thinking about stopping 5 in a row. We were trying to win an All-Ireland.
Yeah.
And
people probably don't realise this. It wasn't your first All-Ireland. You have 3 medals, haven't you?
I have 3 medals, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was a sub.
So you had become accustomed to winning All-Ireland.
Well, the funny thing about that happened when I was young. I was only 20 and whatever. And, you know, coming from a county like Offaly, we hadn't won anything. And when you're very young and you're only just get on the panel and then you get on the team and suddenly you've won 2 All-Ireland medals, you kind of think, well, sure, this is going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
I'm only 20 or whatever. And by the time I'm 34 or 5, surely I get another 1 or 2. But unfortunately, it doesn't go that way. And, you know, it makes the... When you get one and older, you really do appreciate it.
And were you chomping at the bit on the sideline that day? Because Kerry were ahead. And, you know, McGee, we heard him say there, he was looking at his selectors. And in the end, majority rules, let's go with Derby or what have you. Were you chomping at the bit at all?
Oh, God, I would have been. Well, I won't say chomping at the bit. I mean, it was their choice, really, at the end of the day. And if they didn't bring me on, there's no more I could do about it. But, yeah, I was anxious to get on because I had come back. I was gone for 6 years, and I come back for the Leinster final in 82, and I had a very good game, even if I say so myself. And then I got injured. I pulled a hamstring in that match, and I didn't get it right. I had it nearly right, and I pulled it again the Friday night week before the All-Ireland semi-final. So that cost me my place. I had to pull out of the team, and Johnny Mooney came back and had a blinder, a club man of my own, and I knew I wasn't going to get in then. So I kind of thought maybe, you know, if there was anyone going bad that I would get a game, maybe you know, fairly, yeah. You know, that I actually thought I'd be first forward in, but obviously that wasn't the way they were thinking. You know, I was delighted to get in and get a chance, yeah, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
You made the point, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the book is a fantastic read. And as I said earlier, you don't have to be into sport big time to enjoy this book, because there's a human side to all of this as well. And I know one of the things you've made very clear down through the years, you know, you've made the point that it may have changed your life path, that single event, that moment, but it didn't change you. You're very strong on that, aren't you?
I am, because it certainly did change my direction. Yes, it changed my life, really. You know, I went from just you know, people didn't recognize me or anything like that. You know, and then suddenly everybody knows you, and you don't know, when you're somewhere and you don't know who knows you, it's a totally different feeling.
Yeah. But, and you know, when you hear all these stories, you know, I mean, I always said if I ever met you, I did meet you once upon a time, but it was in a watering hole a long, long time ago. But, you know, I can just imagine, you know, the word went out that Darby didn't have to buy a drink for 10 years.
Yeah, well, that's
surely all a myth or
what
have you.
That's all a myth. That's
but
totally
I'm sure untrue. Wherever you went, the usual thing was happening, people putting their arm around you and saying, "Be jeepers, you're one of the greats. Would we be without you?"
I wouldn't necessarily believe that now either, but I mean, there would be the odd one that would be very excited. Maybe someone had to win in a few pounds, or, you know, there was a lot of awfully people that would be genuinely. I mean, we didn't win too much, so it was a very particular joyous occasion for us, you know, and for a lot of people, because I suppose at that stage, Kerry were going for 5 in a row and awfully being very, you know, ordinary small county and small pick, and there's an awful lot of teams like Roscommon, yeah, Longford, Westmead, Cavan. They can all relate to us, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what I mean? It would have done good for them, because they, you know, people say, yeah, well, if they can do it, we'd beat them any most days, and, yeah, you know, it gives them a lift. So I suppose really, the majority of people were kind of hoping that we would win.
Right.
It would be behind us, you know.
All right. Well, when we, you and I, we chatted yesterday, and then I said to myself, right, time to do a little bit of research. But again, what we want people to do is buy the book and let them read for themselves your thoughts and your memories and this, that, and the other as regards the book. And as I said, it makes for a great read. But I can remember as a youngster, I'm from Mayo originally,
right,
growing up in Mayo, and big into the GAA, like most families out there in rural Ireland. But one of the big claim to fame we had in relation to the 82 All-Ireland is the officialdom on the day. And it was a gentleman by the name of McGrath, who was the referee,
right,
PJ,
yeah,
McGrath. But I want you to put on those headphones there, because I know in some of the publicity that I was reading in relation to the book, you made the point that, and I wonder what's this saying about that encounter with Tommy Doyle, you made the point that when the ball went into the net, you just wanted to be sure that the green flag was raised. Is that true?
That's right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I still didn't believe myself. It wound up, but I did.
Well, say hello to Tommy Lavelle. He's on the line.
Hello, Tommy. How are you doing?
Good morning, Seamus. Great to talk to you.
Ah, pleasure. How are you keeping?
Have you ever met this guy?
I haven't, but I have. I actually met someone very lately, very recently. This met you. I think at,
yes,
a funeral somewhere.
Yeah.
And I also I got literature a few years ago from you, or from belonging to you.
Yeah.
And I haven't been up at Mayo that often, but I was tending to look you up. And
well, Tommy Lavelle, tell us and tell the world, PJ McGrath, it's still the case, a referee when he's appointed. So on the day, PJ was, of course, given the right and the opportunity to pick his officials. And yourself and Mick O'Dowd at one goal. Who was on the other?
Pat Connaughton and a man called Mickey Morphy from Kilmaine, where PJ originally came from.
Right, okay.
Yes.
So here you are, Tommy,
yes,
standing down at that goal. Yes. Derby is on the pitch now. What are your, yes, memories of that day?
Well, like, as Seamus will tell you, time was nearly up, and it looked like that we were going to into the Guinness Book of Records, Kerry were going to win the All-Ireland 5 in a row, first team ever to do it. And then PJ gave him a free out in the middle of the field. Now, I don't know, was it Liam Connors or Tomás Connors that kicked the ball in to Seamus?
Yeah, it was Liam.
For the long diagonal ball into the corner of the square. And the next thing, Seamus had it. And the next thing, it was in the back of the net. And I ran for the green flag. The only green flag I got that day, and I remember that time, if there was no score, the ball was kicked out from the 14-yard line after a score, the 21, and Charlie Nelligan was going kicking it out from the 14-yard line. And I said, no, that's a goal, run out, and he kicked it out. And I think Jacko won it in the middle of the field, and Tom Spillane had a chance. He only just missed the post for an equaliser.
So, in other words, you're the man that raised the green flag. You're the man that Darby had his eye on to make sure that the goal stood.
I didn't recall him looking straight at me. But
I was watching it, Holly.
Now, this is what I'm going to say. Maybe I'm looking at soccer matches now and this VAR.
Yeah.
If there were 16 that time, would the goal have stood?
You want me to answer that, Anna?
Maybe not on air. Maybe not on air. No, it was a wonderful day because, like, as I say, it looked like Kerry were home and hosed. Yeah. But Seamus had other ideas, and as the fella said, good luck to them.
Just one of those moments, of course, a great sporting moment, but from the point of view of Ireland's social history as well, it's a moment that will never be forgotten. And of course, the green flag goes up and that's it. And let the celebrations begin.
Sorry, Joe, I always remember I met Micheál Murcuthy after that, you know.
Yeah.
He was in Clamaris opening our dressing rooms or something, and I got talking to him, and he wrote out a piece of paper. Like, it was the most famous goal ever scored in Croke Park.
And you had the honour of
putting up the flag.
Of putting up the green flag. Thank you for taking the call, Tommy. We just thought we'd surprise you with that this morning.
Yeah, that's surprising. I'm delighted to talk to Tommy.
That's Tommy Lavelle, who comes from my hometown of Clemorris, and that's his claim to fame. He raised the green flag. You know, there's a lot of talk nowadays, Seamus, about, you know, our Gaelic games, and I suppose it has reminded us that, you know, it is professional nowadays in every way but name. You know, the name, it's still amateur or what have you, but the amount of effort and time and commitment and dedication that the players have to put in. And some would argue that maybe it's just gone a little bit too far. Do you have a point or a comment to make on that?
Well, I'm inclined to agree with that.
You can take off those headphones now if they're uncomfortable, by the way.
I would just say that in the 80s and the 70s and that, when I was playing, I mean, it was still very serious. And people took it serious, and we trained hard and whatever. And, I mean, in the 70s, people have often said to me, you know, how hard would you train at that time? No. But In the early 70s, we'd done the same course as Leeds United. And Leeds were top dogs in England at the time. We had a man with us, Tom Darcy. He was training, and he was actually a sub on the team. And Tom had just qualified over in Leeds as a PE teacher. And he brought back all the drills and everything. And we'd done the very same training as Leeds United did at that time. So, I mean, you don't get any, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. They were all professionals and they're getting big money for it.
And what do you say to those who are of the view nowadays that what we have are leaner, more athletic, fitter players, more agile?
It probably is this case. But, I mean, back 30, 40 years ago, men had to go out and work. Like, you know, if you look at the Dublin team even at the minute now, or any of the great teams, there's none of them doing much manual labour, or there's none of them in the buildings, or, you know, they're all finished at maybe 3 o'clock of the day, or they're very flexible.
But it was never
time.
Meant to be that way, was it?
No, I don't think so, and I don't think they enjoy it as much as we did, because, you know, we, you know, like things that I did celebrating, and all my colleagues, I wasn't the only one, you know. I mean, people now would think we were mad.
Yeah.
You know, you go off to drink now from the 1st of January and you can't socialise, you can't go out, you watch what you eat. Well, we, you know, that time, you know, you trained hard, you played a match of a Sunday, maybe a big match in Croke Park or wherever, you celebrate Sunday night, and then Tuesday night you're back training, and maybe Monday night you might be doing a little bit yourself, maybe not much, but you're back into full swing again on Tuesday night, and off she went again, you know. I think we enjoyed it a lot better. There may be better runners, but there may not be as good a footballer. You know.
Very true. There seems to be more of a focus nowadays on fitness rather than skill or what have you. But it's interesting to hear you say that, because I think at times, you know, you hear nowadays these regimes are in place, and once the first training session of the season starts, that's it. No drink, guys, no partying, no sex, no nothing. It's total and complete dedication and commitment. And, you know, maybe we need to realize that, you know, yes, it is. For some, it's all about winning. For others, it's the competing and the participation. But the interesting thing is to hear you say, and I know this for a fact, some of the greatest players on the eve of an All-Ireland, you know, as they prepared, if a pint or two of Guinness settled them down, well, so be it.
I am one of them.
Yeah.
I had a couple of brandies the night before it. And the reason that was because I was wound up. And the way I looked at it was more important for me to sleep than to be awake all night looking at the ceiling and your head playing tricks with you. And then when the usual story, and we've all had nights like this, not before a lot in the final, but any kind of a night, any night it can happen. And then when it's time to get up in the morning, you're wrecked. So I kind of thought to myself, hold on, I'm not going down that road. I'm going to try and sleep if I can. And, you know, and that's what I did.
And it worked.
And it worked.
And look what the end result was.
Well, it worked anyway, you know.
Looking back on it now, and again, not delving too deeply into the book itself, but looking back on it now, if you could turn back the clock, you know, the final whistle, PJ McGrath has blown the final whistle, Offaly have won the All-Ireland. From that moment onwards, if you had your time all over again, would you do things differently?
Not really, no. No.
No regrets at all?
I don't have regrets, no. Like, there was consequences because of it, I suppose, all right. But, no, I don't have regrets. It was once in a lifetime, and it hadn't happened to anyone before. I'm not taking all the credit. I mean, we're a good team, and there was more playing on the field than me.
Yeah.
But I was the one that just got the goal, and I got kind of get the credit. Here I am writing a book about 37 years later. But no, I wouldn't do anything different. No.
Yeah.
No.
And there's a great camaraderie there with that winning team from 82, isn't there?
There is, actually. Yes, there is. There's a, yeah, well,
still,
you know,
great mates and friends you meet fairly regular.
We still meet up pretty regular. The bulk of the team, you know, there's lads that's gone away and living away and whatever and done their own thing and that. But generally, there's the bulk of that team will be very close.
Yeah, you know. And of course, we lost Eugene. He had very strong links with us.
Well, he was part of the scene, of course. He was very, very much part of the scene because, actually, only the other day I was talking, someone asked me about Offaly and where we were and would we ever win anything again. And he said, you know, I'm delighted, first of all, that John Mohan is staying on.
Yeah.
Because it's a good sign. And I think he has an awful lot to offer. We may not have the players right now, but, you know, he's putting a big effort into it, and there's some good lads coming through, and he's the right man. And, Eugene stuck with us for 6 years in particular. Like, every year he went a step further.
Yeah.
Very first year, 1977, Wexford beat him in the first round of the Leinster Championship. You know, he had rough times himself, and there was lads at County Boar, I'm sure, weren't happy at some stages. But he was he took it, and he had he'd one thing in his mind was to win an All-Ireland. And, you know, for him, it was great for him to win it, to win it for him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But he was so important to us. Because he was very positive and everybody bought into what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
And he was a good man to convince you. And he was very positive himself, you know.
So. Your life now is still centred around the GAA, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Still go to matches. I go to all the matches. I'm still a GAA man. Yeah, absolutely. I I like the old hurling and the football, and I like to go to most of them. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And is it still the case of wherever you go, there he is?
I get a bit of it still. Yeah, I do actually.
I suppose when, you know, the day they're not talking about
you. Well, then you have a problem. You know, that's a bigger problem.
That's a serious problem then. Yeah, right. By the way, the book, which is out now, it's a great read, and I'm not surprised to hear that it has been nominated for numerous awards, co-written with PJ Cunningham.
That's right, yes.
And we know him very, very well. He loves his sport as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't he?
Well, he's a good footballer himself. He was close enough to that team as well.
Yeah, yeah. About That Goal is out now, available in all good bookstores. Did you enjoy doing it, the book?
I did. It was a, you know, it was a bit of trying to think of all the things, and there are even still things that I probably have left out. But I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it, and I did it for a reason. Was just to tell my side of the story, because down through the years I've been told and heard different things that I did, and I whatever.
And so you're dispelling all the myths in the book, are you?
Yeah, I'm not saying them all. No, I can't go as far as that, but. There's a lot of things that are not true that I've heard, you know.
Yeah.
And I just thought it's better for me to put it straight than someone else do it later on and not know what they're talking about, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where it came about.
Well, it's great that we have the opportunity to get the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Great story, not only about sport, there's very much a human side to this as well. I think at times we forget Darby, he is human, ladies and gentlemen. And the book is out now. About That Goal, as I said, is available in all good bookstores. Thank you for being with us today. I really appreciate you travelling down to be with us. And as I said, it's a great, great read.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Thanks indeed.
Much.